Well, good evening. So we're already in the second week of Advent, and the church would have us focus even more intensely on this word we hear over and over and over again during Advent, which is preparing, preparing. And I don't know, for me, it seems like all of a sudden we're in the second week of Advent. I don't know why, but in my own experience, Lent seems to last forever, never ends. But Advent, it's just as soon as we start, we're already in the second week. And I always have this feeling that I'm not really preparing well enough. And maybe there's some like that among us. I would like to say to you tonight, it's never too late. Second week, third week, wherever we are in Advent, the Lord Jesus, as it says in the book of Revelation, he stands at the door and knocks. Okay, no matter when it is, if we turn to him and do our part in preparing, he will come to us. And that's this gospel. I'll get to the gospel in a minute, but it's all about preparing a pathway for the Lord to come. Just a quick review. We all know that the word Advent is Latin for coming, right? We all know that. And who's coming? Jesus is coming, okay? We also, in Advent, some people say we are talking about two comings of Jesus. Well, a lot of times when I read some of the fathers of the church, they say there's actually three comings of Jesus. One took place in history 2,000 years ago, and that's what we celebrate in a certain sense. We have manger scenes and all that. Then we're also in Advent focused on the second coming of Christ, when he will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. But in between those two comings, Jesus wants to come into our hearts. So there is, in a certain sense, three comings of Jesus. Jesus, stop and think about this for a moment, because it is so profound and so important, and really the central theme of preparing properly in Advent. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, who is filled with grace and truth. When we look at the mountains, he created those. We look at the ocean, he created those. He created all of us, everything. The ruler of the universe wants to come and dwell in our hearts. I think sometimes we don't dwell on that enough. The Lord Jesus wants to come and dwell in our hearts. That is the central theme of our faith. You know, I've said this before, we sometimes think Catholicism is about following moral rules, which it is in a certain sense. We are supposed to follow moral rules. But the heart of our faith is the very life of God dwelling within us. That's what we're here for. We want the very life of God to dwell in our hearts. And so Jesus, knocking at the door, as it says in Revelations, wants us to open, allow him in. He wants to dwell with us. I want to read a quote that, for me, this is something, every single Advent I read this because it articulates this better than I could. St. Charles Borromeo, one of my heroes, I have lots of saint heroes, St. Charles Borromeo says this, "When we remove all obstacles to his presence, he will come at any hour and moment to dwell spiritually in our hearts, bringing with him the riches of his grace." When we remove the obstacles, Jesus will come and dwell with us. If we prepare, in other words, the Father will come and dwell. It says in John's gospel that the Father will come and dwell, and Jesus, they will make their home within us. And so we prepare by doing something, by taking decisive action to remove the obstacles to his presence. You know, there are so many obstacles in our hearts to the presence of Christ. I want to talk just about two tonight. The two that I want to focus on are distraction and sin. And we've probably heard some of this already during Advent, and I know it's painful even for me to talk about distraction because I am so busy during Advent. But this is something, again, if the Lord wants to dwell in our hearts, he wants to help us step away from distraction and from sin because they really are obstacles to his presence coming within us. So John the Baptist was sent by God to prepare us. And so if we want to know how to prepare for the coming of Christ, John did it historically, but also his lesson is for us right now. And so John the Baptist, through his own life, his example of his life, and through what he preached, shows us how we should properly prepare. So what do we know about John? He lived in the wilderness east of Jerusalem. And he was what we would call an ascetic. You know, he was like a monk in the wilderness. It says in the other Gospels that he wore a clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt. But the really interesting thing, for those of us who like detail, he ate locusts and wild honey. Isn't that amazing? That's all to give us the image and understanding that John had left behind the normal life and was living in solitude in the desert to commune with God. That's an example for us. And we also know from today's Gospels and the others that his message was calling people to repentance. Another word we hear a lot. It just means to turn away from sin and to turn towards the living God. We're always called to repentance. And so that's what we know about John. One of the things that we sometimes, I think about this, if God sent John the Baptist to prepare people by calling them to repent, wouldn't it make sense for him to be in Jerusalem, the big city, and to walk around the streets and call people to repentance? To me, that seems a little more logical, yet God the Father called John to go into the wilderness. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to the Holy Land. A few years back, I was blessed to be able to go. And I did not walk from Jerusalem into the wilderness to the Jordan, which is the path that John the Baptist did. So if you walk east from Jerusalem, you go through a very barren wilderness. In my opinion, it looks a lot like the drive from here to Wyoming, to Cheyenne or to Laramie. There's these giant rock formations. In fact, many, many more than even our drive up north to Laramie. Twisting roads, going downhill, lots of things that look almost like from another planet. God the Father sends John the Baptist there. It's a mystery to me. Why would he do that? Because he's trying to show us by example that if we are to really prepare for the coming of Jesus, both back then and in our lives now, we need to simplify our lives. We need to give up something, and we need to exchange it for something better. One of the things we can do during Advent is fasting. You know, Advent is really has a penitential character. It really is like a miniature Lent. Even, you know, it's 4 weeks. The first part of Advent, we really should focus on repentance, of confessing our sins, and simplifying our life. And even things like fasting are appropriate during the first part of Advent. But it doesn't always have to be food, for example. There are other things that the Lord has called me to fast from. Things like, so I'll just give you an example of something we could give up and then something we could take on as a way to prepare for the coming of Jesus in our hearts. Again, this is all about removing the obstacles. Give up something like watching a movie, watching a football game, watching or reading the news, being on the internet, catching up with things. All of us find time to do those things. Make a conscious decision to give up a football game, let's say, and instead exchange that for an hour of spiritual reading, either reading a good book, spiritual book, the life of a saint, or reading scripture. That is a practical, concrete way that we are removing obstacles and we are opening the door to let Christ come and dwell within us. And I'm going to make several suggestions. You know, if you just take one of these and go home with it, don't try and do everything. That's what I do. I hear a talk and I heard the mission. I don't know how many of you came to the mission. Some of this will be repeating what we heard, some of us heard on the mission. I go away from those missions and I take notes and I try and do everything, and it's frustrating, and I ended up getting very discouraged because you can't do everything. Take one thing tonight, one of two or three suggestions, one of those, and go home and do it. So fasting, not just food, but give up something time-wise and exchange it for some spiritual reading or reading scripture. The other thing is go into the desert. You know, John goes out into the desert, leaves behind the city of Jerusalem, the busy life. This is something that, again, I think can profoundly change us. Find a way to get away from the normal routine of your life and go out. Now, for me, the most meaningful thing that I can do is literally to leave my house and go for a walk. And I live close enough to the Environmental Learning Center, that's my little wilderness. I can walk into that, leave my phone at home, leave everything at home, leave my cares at home, spend an hour communing with the Lord, talking to the Lord, asking the Lord some very important questions. Lord, am I living the life you want me to live? How could I better prepare for you to come into my heart? What are the things I'm doing that I should give up, that I should not be doing? And what are the things that I'm not doing that I should do? Have a conversation with the living God. Now, here's the amazing thing. Some of you know this. 4 or 5 years ago, I went and did a long pilgrimage, 5 weeks. I walked in Spain on what's called the Camino de Santiago. Every single day, I had 4 to 6 hours of just walking alone. And at the beginning of that, I was kind of petrified, like, you know, I'm just not sure I want to even be with myself that long. I mean, that's a long time to just be alone. But I realized something on the first day. I was not alone. And the moment I put aside the distractions of the city, the distractions of my phone and all those other things, and just walked and began a conversation with the Lord, I could hear his voice clearly. Every day that I walked, God spoke to me about something. And I remember this fleeting thought went something like this: Lord, where have you been all my life? You know, where have you been? And the Lord said, I've been here all along. When you remove those distractions, I am ready to speak to you. I think that it's the most undervalued, underappreciated thing we could do is to just go off alone somewhere, whether it's a walk, whether it's coming here to adoration. Sometime during Advent, make time to just go and be alone in your own thoughts, speak to God, have a conversation with him, ask him those profound, important questions. Lord, what do you want me to do right now? What in my life needs to change? Am I pleasing to you? And I guarantee you, if you take the time, the Lord Jesus will speak to you. The last thing I want to say is to prepare for the coming of Christ in our hearts by repenting of sin. You know, we read in the gospel about this John the Baptist being the voice crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, valleys will be filled in, mountains and hills will be made low. The imagery here is pretty clear. It's like, imagine a pathway from here to, you know, 20 miles away. It's about 30 miles from Jerusalem through the wilderness to the Jordan River. If you've got valleys and mountains and curves, that's a difficult trail. You know, back when I walked this Camino in Spain, at the beginning of every day, I would look at what was in front of me, and I loved it if it was flat and straight. Those were good days. I knew I was going to walk 10 or 15 miles flat and straight. If I knew I had to climb mountains and go down valleys and curves and so forth, it was not such a good day. That's difficult. So the imagery here in the Bible is make the way easy for the Lord to come to you. Make the path easy. The mountains, you know, a lot of times the scriptural imagery of mountains is pride. We hear this all the time in throughout the Bible. When God says, bring the mountains low, he's saying, humble yourself. The root of all sin is pride. We think we know more than God. We think we can do better than God. Go to confession and confess the offenses that we've done against God. It's a humbling thing, but it is a way to remove the obstacles. Every sin we commit, even the small ones, create a little bit of a barrier between us and the living God. So let the mountains be brought down. Let us lower our pride. Go to confession and repent of our sins. The valleys being filled in, a way of looking at that is sins of omission. Many times when we think of sins, we think of offenses, lines we've crossed, things we've done that violate God's commandments, and those are sins. We sometimes don't focus enough on things that God wants us to do that we're not doing. We call these sins of omission. What is God asking me to do that I've refused to do? And Okay, just checking the time here. I have one quick story. Years ago, someone defrauded me of a huge amount of money. I had kids in college. It's a long story. I'm not going to get into it. God told me to forgive that person. You know, I had hired an attorney. I had done all sorts of things to get my money back. And to be honest, I was really, really angry. And I had a right to be angry in a certain sense, because this money had been stolen from me. But the Lord Jesus said to me, forgive that man who did that to you. And I have to say, for the first week or so, I not only did I resist, I said, I am not going to do that. That's the ugliest place to be, to refuse to do something that God asks you to do, especially involving forgiveness. So finally, by the grace of God, I was able to do that which the Lord had asked me to do, which is let this go and forgive this person for what they had done to me. And my life was changed. It was a new chapter in my life to be able to grant forgiveness. So back to the beginning of all this. We want to prepare. We want to remove the obstacles. You may have heard the very beginning of Mass, the introductory, the opening prayer. There was this phrase that said, don't let anything hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son. What's the imagery there? Think about this. Where else do we read in Scripture someone setting out in haste to meet Jesus? It's the shepherds. It's almost the same phrase used. When the shepherds heard that Jesus was born, Luke's gospel says they set out in haste. They went quickly, decisively, immediately. They didn't let anything hinder them. They went and found Mary and Joseph and Jesus, the Lord of the universe. And so my encouragement is prepare the way of the Lord in our own hearts. Confess our sins. Let go of our pride. Ask the Lord to help us do the things he wants us to do. Remove all the obstacles. The grace of God, beyond all human understanding, is here and available for us to do that. So let's ask the Lord to help us. May the Lord prepare our hearts for this Advent season.